Roy, do you like Ted Lasso?
I love Ted Lasso.
Oh, you do? Good. I have this sign right here, the Believe sign. It's from Ted Lasso.
Welcome to Ditto, everyone. We're super excited. We have an amazing guest here today. We have the one and only Croy Bethune. Croy, how are you doing today?
Hey y'all. I'm doing pretty great. It's been kind of a long day, but we're here, so yeah.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate you making time for us. It has been a long day, I can attest. Corey and I were both at training today. Yeah. It was one of our heavier days. But we have an off day tomorrow, so
Yeah. What do you two do with your off days? Is it like sleep until noon, or is it, do you keep a routine going? Or give me kind of a typical off day for a professional soccer player like Corey? You guys.
Yeah, I wish I could sleep in, but I have a dog to take care of, so he keeps me on schedule with like my sleep schedule. Yeah, but it really depends. Like sometimes just relax, or if I have like life things to do, I do that, or like self-maintenance, but nothing too crazy, just rejuvenate, especially if it's midweek, just kind of calm down, get ready for the game. So yeah.
I would say ditto to that. Same, like if it's a midweek game, especially like we have match day minus one and then match day, it's just like Croy said, like rejuvenating, kind of like filling up your cup, feeling rested and ready for the weekend. If it's an off day at the beginning of the week, like, or like after a game, that's when I'm like recovering, but also like running errands, the stuff that I can't do like in a normal day. So
Oh, I have a question. Speaking of this, oh my gosh, I've been wanting to ask this for so long. I don't think I've even asked Ashley. So this is perfect opportunity. You're at home this week, so you don't have to travel. But normally when it's across the country, obviously you're getting in an airplane and having to do the whole deal. I'm exhausted whenever I travel, like inevitably. And I can feel it for 2 days after and it just kills me. How do you manage that? Like you, like if you have a game in Portland, right, you have to fly literally across the country. What do you do to manage physically, emotionally, like traveling that far and still having to go do what you do?
Croy, you first.
Okay. Yeah, it is a long day, especially if we train before we travel. But just like recovery habits, when you get there, trying to get in the boots or anything to get your legs back under you for the next day. And for me, heavy on sleep, because when I go to sleep and I wake up the next morning, I honestly feel like a brand new person. So yeah, just sleep and recovery habits.
Mm-hmm. Prioritization of sleep. I love it. Ashley, yeah. Similar? What do you do?
Yeah, same. I think it's just, for me, it's just like, what am I feeling? What do I feel like my body needs? Usually like that's like, I need to go for a walk or make sure I get like extra sleep, especially with like the time change and stuff. But yeah, you kind of get used to it because you do so much travel and then you kind of figure out your routines of like what you like when you're on the road, what works for you, what doesn't, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Do any of you get motion sickness? I have to take like 3 Dramamine when I fly.
Oh no.
None of you, seriously, no. It just knocked me out. And I still feel sick. I don't know what it is. I should probably go get it checked. Anyways, I feel like that would be such a huge factor for someone like myself. And it's probably why I'm not a professional athlete. But nonetheless, traveling knocks me out.
That's so the only reason why you're curious. Not a professional athlete. The only reason. The only thing that's keeping you out.
It is.
Dang it. Shucks.
Anyways, thanks for answering. I've had curiosity with that for a while.
Okay. Well, speaking of becoming a professional athlete, Croy, I've heard your story, like little bits and pieces of it from like being on other interviews or like podcasts with you. But for our audience and our listeners who don't know, could you tell us a little bit about like the beginning of your soccer journey? Like, where did it all start for you?
Yeah, it's a long story, but I'll make it like medium length, short length.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so I have an older brother that's about 3 to 4 years older than me. So my parents put him in sports, and of course, when I came along, they put me in sports, soccer being one of them. And at the age of about 3 or 4, we moved to England. My parents were in the Air Force. They're retired now. So yeah, I was playing soccer in Georgia as like a 3-year-old, just kicking the ball around, trying to go the right way. But moving to England, I feel like really started my career because the style of play over there is so different from the States. And at such a young age, being aware of the talent that I had at such a young age, and then also playing with boys. Like when I moved, I was playing with my brother's team. Keep in mind, he's 4 years older than me, so
Wow.
they're like big boys.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that kind of started my career in the sense of boys quicker, being in England, and just kind of bringing that back over to the States 3 to 4 years later and combining the style of plays. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. That, like, I feel like most players when they're young and they're really good, they play with boys. But not only were you playing with boys, you were playing with boys that were so much older than you, and you're playing in another country, which
Yeah.
is like a
Yeah.
completely different style of play. I feel like most people could see that as like a big hurdle or a challenge. You're like, oh my gosh, like we moved over to England, like this is really hard at a young age. But I feel like your perspective on it has been really, really good and more of like a positive. Like, what would you attribute that like perspective to?
Thank you. I mean, looking back, I was really young. But now that I'm older and looking at the experience that I had, I feel like it was very helpful. Like in comparison, sometimes I think back to when I came here, I'm like, why are they so physical? Why are they bumping me? The ball is right there, you know? Because in England, it's more so technical. But I feel like that allowed me to improve parts of my game. Like I'm a small person, and people being physical in the States, it made me reevaluate and think like, okay, get space but still be technical. So I feel like it allowed me to see the game and just honestly life in a completely different perspective. People tell you not to compare and contrast things, but honestly, that's kind of how you have to view a lot of stuff to see what you like or how to improve. So I feel like that's kind of the key points for me.
Hey, Croy, you pointed something out. Your parents were in the Air Force. Is that the branch of military
Yes,
that they
sir.
were in? I worked for just a little bit with mostly the Army, a little bit of the Air Force, but mostly the Army. And so I want to ask you, how has their experience of being in the Air Force and you being reared in that family shaped who you are and shaped your game today? Because I know it's just a different lifestyle. So I mean, if you think back, how has that shaped you to who you are today?
I'm just kind of thankful I didn't have to move around a lot. That's the only time we moved. So that part is different for me, but I also have older parents. And just being raised by them, but also them being in the Air Force, I feel like it gives me a lot of structure in my life, consistency, and that's on the field, but also off the field, being organized. So I feel like it just shapes me into wanting to be better and to thrive more, just like Air Force strong. Like, imagine going to work every day and someone is screaming in your face to do something. They're strong. And I don't know, it just shocks me.
You can definitely see that, I feel
That's
like,
great.
in your temperament and the way that you like carry yourself. Like it's very hard to know if something like has like frazzled you or has shook you. You know, even like recently going through this injury, this most recent injury, like you're very just like calm and centered. And I don't know, you and maybe inside you're like frustrated or whatever, but I think like what you just said like makes so much sense because I feel like that's how you carry yourself and like you're very professional at like such a very young age. So that's really cool.
I appreciate that, Angie.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so you played over in England and then you came over here and started playing again and then you went to USC, correct?
Yep.
Go Trojans, fight on.
Trojans.
I was on USC's campus this past off season, so I feel like I could also
Yeah.
be a semi Trojan.
We'll give it to
I did get a little mini degree, so
Oh,
I felt
sweet.
pretty cool. Yeah, for my
Yeah.
broadcasting boot camp,
Oh,
I can't
wow.
remember if I was telling you or Kaylee, but it was really cool. The campus is really pretty. But anyway, so you went to USC for a majority of your career, and then you transferred to Georgia. You experienced, was it two back-to-back injuries in your college career?
So I had two back-to-back and then a third one. My first one was my senior year of high school going into freshman year and then
Okay.
freshman year. And then my third one was my senior year.
It's all the same injury, Croy?
All ACL on my left
Oh
knee.
my goodness. On the
Yeah.
one leg.
Yeah.
Goodness
I
gracious.
know. Can't get it
Yes, you are gonna get it right
Thank
because you have a long, healthy career ahead of you. But I mean, I feel like it's pretty unique to hear of players that have gone through like so many injuries and are like still playing and competing at the highest level.
Yeah.
Like you've had to overcome so much with these injuries. Has
Yeah.
like what like has helped you get through all of these injuries? Like obviously I'm maybe each one has been different, but like starting from the first one to this most recent one, like what helps you get through these difficult challenges?
A lot of confidence, a lot of determination. I've been playing soccer since I was three, and I know that it's what I wanted to be pro my whole life and just be one of the best to do it and influence others. But I don't know, soccer is what I love to do, and I know I want to do it. So just trusting in the Lord and understanding that this is a journey, it's a process. Like other people's could be very smooth, but mine has ups and downs, and it's clearly trying to teach me things and show me things. And with each injury, I've learned something different, or just kind of like reiterated what I learned in the past injury. But yeah, it's a process. You just got to learn to love it. And if you don't, then it's going to eat you alive. So,
Yeah, ain't
yeah.
that true?
Yeah.
Amen. We need to
Yeah.
clip that and post it because it really is. And you truly do need to like love what you're doing. Where would you say that like you said at the beginning, you have this like I've always told Matt, and I say this a lot on the podcast, like if you want to become a professional soccer player or a professional at anything, you have to have this like undeniable like self-belief and like confidence. Like it has to like be just like burning deep inside you, 'cause that's what's gonna help you like get through like the hard times, even the good times. It's gonna help you stay grounded. Like you just need to continue to believe in yourself. Where would you say, I mean, there's a lot of different factors that can contribute to that confidence, but where would you say that like internal belief and confidence comes from?
I'd probably say two things. One, just I don't know, I've always been good at soccer, so that just kind of comes easy. When you're good at something, you love it more and you want to get
Totally.
better at it. So that's kind of easy. But also for me, I would say like my family, in my immediate family, I'm the youngest and I'm the girl. So like with my dad, I'm daddy's little girl. But with my entire family, I just feel like I grew up surrounded by a lot of love, and a lot of positivity, and that just kind of made me feel like I can do anything that I put my mind to. So those two things for sure.
Yeah.
Self-confidence. Yeah.
Those are huge.
Thanks.
In
Yeah.
fact, it touches on our number one source. So, for those that have been listening, Croy, for some time now to the podcast, it was the first episode, right, Ashley?
Yeah.
Or it was all about self-confidence. And literally, Croy, the literature points to the number one source of one's self-confidence, especially in the realm of athletics, being past accomplishments. So if you've done something well, in theory, you'll be able to pull from that source to do something that's in that moment or moments causing self-doubt. So you're pulling from that tool, so to speak, and you're evident of that and providing truthfulness behind that. I'm so curious with all of these injuries. I mean, it's what, a 6-month process for ACL recovery, roughly?
For ACL, about
ish,
a year just to be safe. I mean, it depends.
fully ready to go.
Yeah, it depends on what else. Like for me, I only had ACL, but it depends on if there's other issues within the knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, what do you do, especially mentally during that time period? Because I would imagine in speaking to a lot of athletes, especially like yourself in the NWSL now, you all gain this confidence and this kind of psychological resiliency from actually playing and actually being in games and scoring goals and making tackles, et cetera. So what do you do when you're not able to do that, especially from a psychological level to, quote unquote, stay in the game, but not actually be in the game because your body's not allowing you to do that? Does that question make sense?
Yes. I mean, everything's a mental game. So for me, I kind of had to learn at a young age to flip my mental into thinking positively. Of course, when you're going through something hard, like it sucks, you could be negative all the time. But I had my family with me during the hardest times of the injury, which is like right after surgery. And then just your support system. I feel like this, I had a meniscus tear this time. And I feel like this one was a lot easier because of my team and being surrounded by everyone. There's just so much positivity and just genuine people around me, like Hatchie being a prime example. So they don't even, like, the injury doesn't even cross my mind about being away from the team and being negative or being down. It's just flipping. Sorry, he's distracting me.
No, there you
Flipping,
go.
flipping the point of view of how you look at things.
Yeah.
For me, that was how can I evaluate the game on the side for when I do come back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much to learn from that, especially with young soccer players. Like if you're listening and you're on the sideline, whether you're injured or you're not playing, like that perspective of going through what you would do if you were in the game is invaluable, right? So please, listeners, like pay attention to Croy and what she's doing when she's not playing, because she's playing in her mind. So when she does have the opportunity, she's ready, right? I love that.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, super powerful. I mean, I feel like you might have already kind of answered this a little bit, but like, what lessons has soccer specifically taught you, like, about yourself that you feel like have translated to just like life in general?
Great question. The first one, a lot of people don't know this because it's like inner thoughts, but the first one was at national camp when I was about 15 or maybe 17, 15.
Oh, super young.
And yeah, at that time, we were the World Cup year. So we were coming into camps every month. And I just kind of was like, I want a break. It was exhausting. And unfortunately, my break was an ACL tear. And that one just kind of showed me, like, don't take things for granted. I'm sorry, I might start crying. But
That's okay.
don't take things for granted because they can be taken away from you within the snap of a finger. Like, yeah, you might want a break, but like, be grateful for what you have in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second one was just kind of like, I've been here before. I like grew up going to church and reading the Bible and like scriptures, but that one just kind of connected me even closer because I was just questioning and wondering like why does it keep happening? So that one just kind of like made me turn to the Lord and just really trust and believe in his process and understand that it's God's timing and not my timing, and that I don't really understand. And the third one, just kind of the same with timing, taking a break, and trust in the process because everything happens for a reason. And realizing that I'm stronger than I might think I am, or I don't know that I am.
Wow, powerful.
Yes, so powerful. Yeah,
Sorry.
it's No, you don't have to apologize. Thank you so much for sharing. Those are like such beautiful lessons that I feel like can translate into like anyone's life, and anyone can benefit from learning those lessons. And I think sports, specifically soccer for us, have the ability to teach us those lessons, sometimes in a really harsh way, like the game being taken away from you. I had a minor injury in college that kept me out. I was on like crutches for like 8 weeks, but it was the first like major injury that I had as well. And I remember like feeling the same way you did. Like I was kind of like a little bit overwhelmed. I kind of felt like it was a lot. And then all of a sudden I was out, and I was like, I would do anything to like run a fitness test right now. And like before that, I was like, I would have thought I was crazy for saying that. And so I feel like in those moments when it maybe is hard, but you're doing something that you love, you kind of look back on those moments when you didn't, have this opportunity, even if it's hard. And
Yeah.
it's like gives you so much like gratitude for like a healthy body and the ability to be able to like play soccer for a living and do something that you love for a living. So, and I also 100% agree with you on connecting to someone that's higher, has a higher purpose than just yourself. And I think connecting to God in that way, is also really, really powerful. So thanks for sharing that.
Course.
Yeah, I want to second that, Croy, real quick. So I don't know how much you probably don't. I don't know why I was going to ask that question. My research, so I'm in academia. My research, broadly speaking, is spirituality and religion and the intersection of that within sport. And so, like, you're speaking my love language, so to speak. When it comes to sports, I just think you can't disconnect the spirituality orientation of a human being slash professional athlete during any of it. And in fact, if we try to do that, I think we're doing that person a disservice. And so, you bringing up all of these aspects, I mean, you've touched on the importance of relationships and physical and mental, but now you're talking spiritual. And Ashley and I regularly talk about this and the importance of recognizing, implementing, and strengthening all of these different aspects, right, of what makes us a human being. And you alluded to this, but I want to ask you, or maybe you can unpack it a little bit further. What role today does spirituality play? I know you just mentioned essentially that you were Christian and that you rely on the Lord. What does that look like, especially in your professional life? So you're bringing kind of personal stuff into the professional realm. What does that look like? What role does it play for you today?
Yeah, for me, I think it has the biggest role in my life, just because of all the hardships that I've been through. And just day by day, like I know the Lord is someone that I can turn to. I try to do my scriptures in the morning, so that gives me guidance throughout the day. So if there's an example, I can think back to that scripture and kind of like, again, flip my mental to think positively, or like, oh, this is an example that the Lord is testing me. So I'd say it's the biggest role for me. And then my mom, of course, and my dad within the spiritual role. But I feel like a lot of people should get in tune with that side, because it can help you a lot off the field as well. Just relief a lot
Yeah.
of stress or feel more intact with yourself.
Yeah. Does that integrate at all within the actual competition setting? I mean, is it prayer? Are you reciting scripture? Are you, how have you integrated it into actual play? I'm so curious.
Yeah, scripture, but I also pray. I don't know if people notice this, but before I step on the field, after our huddle, I like stop and say a prayer that my mom gave me in college. I want to pray with them before, but they're kind of too far. But yeah, prayer.
Yeah, the power of prayer. I know, Ashley, right? You've obviously implemented a lot of that into your career as well.
Yeah, I actually, this is kind of funny. I've never told anyone this, but I actually pray in the bathroom stall before we go out into
Oh,
the
cool.
field, just because like I feel like there's no other place to get a little bit of like privacy. Like obviously like some of us girls will pray, or like as a group, and we'll go and like see the chaplain and she'll pray for us. But I still feel like it's really important for me to like connect personally with God, and so I feel like there's no real like appropriate place to d I think on the field is really, really cool. For me, like I like to just have like a little bit of like privacy. So I sometimes, well, every time, every game day I pray in the stall. Not every time I'm in the stall I'm praying, but but yeah, I always say a quick prayer, and it's kind of similar to you, Croy. Like it's a very like I say almost the same prayer every time, and I ask for a lot of the same things before I head out. But when after I say that prayer, like it just gives me a sense of peace, and I also am able just to be super grateful for the opportunity because I know that this won't last forever. Like soccer won't last forever, but I want to make sure that like I express that gratitude and that I kind of like recenter myself because like when you're preparing for a game, like emotions are just like all over the place. And so, yeah, for me, like prayer is also like really powerful. And like, I don't know what I would do without it, to be honest.
I agree.
Yeah,
Yeah.
think how, I mean, we talk about mindfulness a lot, or meditation, a form of mindfulness in sports psychology so much. Think how mindful prayer is. I mean, mindfulness basically is paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. You're doing that in communication with God. And so you're becoming present and doing away with some of the stress and some of the anxiety that inevitably is going to be in a setting like professional sports. It just can't, in my opinion, be overstated enough of how powerful something like prayer can do for the psychology and the affective or emotional component of athletics. And you guys are both testaments of that. I love it. We could talk
Yeah,
about this all day.
I know. That's really cool. I'm glad you shared that because now I know. And I'll be like, ooh, there she goes. She's praying. I honestly think I've seen
I promise
what?
I won't disturb you in the stall, though. You
Oh, it's okay. I mean,
can.
I do
He's
have to
gonna
go to the
start
bathroom
knocking
like
on that
five
stall.
times. Yeah, I'm in the stall probably more than I should be sometimes, so you never know when it would be. Oh, man. But yeah, that's really cool. Thanks for sharing. Okay, another question I have for you. It's very clear that you have this like internal like self-belief. You're really confident. Also, your accolades definitely backed it up. Gold medal, rookie of the year, midfielder of the year, like doing all of these things that no one has ever accomplished in just their first season. And I'm sure that's just been kind of like your legacy all the way up until this point. But like, how have you been able to like balance like this confidence that you have in your abilities, but also like staying humble like among all this success? Because it's very clear that you are a very humble person and that you're really good at like giving credit to your teammates, and it's, you know, you're not like, oh, look at me, which you totally can be because you have all these accolades. And so I think it's very admirable to see like how you carry yourself with such humility. How are you able to balance that? Because I feel like it's not easy.
I grew up, a lot of people would call me cocky all the time, and I was just so confused. I'm like, I don't even like cocky people. I just feel like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know, there's a difference from flaunting how great you are all the time instead of just kind of showing people who you are. And I would rather be about actions than words. Also, there's 10 other people on the field, and if the team wins, then I win. If the team wins, then Hatchie wins. Like, it's not one person is just gonna win. It's a team sport. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I've never really been the selfish or the cocky type. It's all about everyone. Like, as we could see, like I got hurt and the team was still amazing. So it's not just about one person. But yeah, I don't know. Just kind of going about my life, just being myself and trying to stay confident. Cockiness doesn't really do anything for anyone. So I
Yeah,
think, yeah.
I like that. I think the people that maybe think you are cocky just misunderstand you. I feel like sometimes I mean, I don't have all the accolades that you have, but I feel like growing up, I was a little bit like more quiet and shy, and sometimes people would misinterpret that as like, I just think I'm better than you. So I definitely think the people that think you're cocky are probably just like misunderstanding you, because I feel like getting to know you as your teammate in just like one season, I think it's like very clear that you are confident in yourself and abilities, which you should be, but you're also like very humble, very kind, very giving. And I think it's those qualities, like that confidence in yourself, but also that like humility and that kindness is what's gonna like take you really far. Obviously, your resilience too, to overcome like challenges is what's really gonna take you far. Because I feel like you focus on a lot of those things, and no matter if you get the accolades or you don't, like you're gonna be the same person. And I think it's unfortunately sometimes very rare to see that with someone that has so much success really early on in their career. So when I'm not your teammate anymore and I'm just cheering you on, I can't wait to be a huge, I mean, I already am a huge Coroy Bethune fan, but when I have kids, I'm like, oh yeah, I played with her.
I also try to think about how, like, not that other people's opinions matter, but like, if someone were to ask you what's Coroy Bethune, like, I want people to have the most positive or like best thing to say and just leave a great impression. Not just for like other people, but for my own sake, you know, like being a great person or being a humble person like goes so much further in life. And you just, that also helps surround you with the same like minded people.
Yeah, you
I love that.
definitely, yeah, you're gonna attract kind of the same energy that you are putting out.
Exactly.
Well, and it speaks to you being much more than just a really great soccer player.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, we've been talking about this for the past half hour. It reminds me, Croy, do you like Ted Lasso? Oh, I hope you do. It's my favorite show.
I love Ted Lasso.
Oh, you do? Good.
I haven't
In
watched
fact,
it, but I've definitely
I
heard
have the
about it.
sign right here, the Believe sign. It's from Ted Lasso.
Cool.
Anyways, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. There's a scene in there when one of the soccer players is hurt and he's contemplating retiring. He's with his girlfriend, who's also with his niece, who's like 7, I think, who just adores this soccer player. His name's Roy. And Roy's girlfriend brings this girl over and asks, like, hey, describe your Uncle Roy for me. And she starts, and it's like, oh, he's nice. He gets me ice cream. He hangs out with me. He plays dragons with me. He does all of these things. She didn't mention soccer player one time. And that was the whole point. Like, I didn't hear soccer player in there. Even though you're a professional soccer player, I didn't hear her describe that one time. And like, kids can be oftentimes the best teachers in our lives. But again, I think it just speaks to this point of we got to have other identities. Even you two being really, really great at something, and a very small portion of the population is as good as you in this world. There are other things that make you who you are, and I think it's directly related to you also being a great soccer player and supporting that and facilitating that. I have a question for you. Just switching gears a little bit. We've talked about all your wonderful successes and accolades, but you're also a human being. I'm imagining you have failed at times. When have you failed? And what have you learned as a result of maybe that experience or experiences when you haven't reached the objectives that you really have wanted to?
That's a great question. I feel like this might be too deep, but at SC, I kind of feel like I failed at just being a person. I was at a young age, like, you tend to just be like, oh, I want to be a soccer player. I want to be a soccer player and not know what else there is out there in the world. And with the injuries and just going through a lot, I kind of was emphasizing of getting to the next stage for soccer instead of being a human and getting out there. Although COVID was at the t did happen at the time, but I feel like I kind of failed myself in the sense of just being a student instead of being a student athlete. And just learning off of that when I moved to UGA, I kind of tried to get myself out there more with clubs and just connecting with people because I'm a pretty reserved person. So yeah, I think I learned from being at SC for so long that, like you said, like we're humans besides being soccer players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Of course. Yeah, it's really hard to separate the two. I feel like especially in college, I think that's kind of where I learned that like
Yeah.
you need to be able to separate it and be like, I'm Ashley Hatch, the soccer player, but I'm also like Ashley Hatch, the friend and the sister and the daughter and whatever else, whatever other roles you may play in your life. But yeah, that's a really important lesson to learn. All right. So we're going to wrap it up with a fun new question that actually Jeff came up with this question. And he
Ooh.
was like, you should ask Croy this question and all your other podcast guests this question. But I feel like you're a perfect person to start this question off with. And so I'm going to ask Croy this question. But then, Matt, I think we both should answer it as well for her
Oh
based off
boy.
the conversation that we've had.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway, this is the question. What would you say is your superpower? I think like you can take this as many directions as you want, but what superpower do you possess that has helped you get to like where you are right here, right now, like in this stage in the moment of life?
Should I answer first?
Yeah, you answer first.
I'm actually gonna take that Ted Lasso believe sign. I think
Yes.
belief is a great superpower that I've had at such a young age, and just kind of stuck with believing in myself, or yeah, that it's brought me this far 24 years later. So
Yeah.
just keep believing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, what would you say?
Ditto.
I know. It's like she took my answer. Gosh dang it.
I've known Croy for 37 minutes and 37 seconds. And honestly, when you asked Ashley and you said that I was going to reply, the phrase that came to my mind was an unshakable self-belief. Like it gets like shooken, but it comes back and it comes back and it comes back. And I feel like that's the power, the superpower that's sustained her over all these years and will continue, I'm imagining, to sustain her is that self-belief. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, honestly, not to copy both y'all, but yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. I was like, I feel like it's just like this reoccurring theme, like in every question that we've asked you and every story that you've shared is you've just always had this internal belief. And I think that's like the number one key ingredient for anyone that is successful in what they do and is going through trials and tribulations.
So
So yeah, we
important.
all got the right answer, even though there was no wrong
Yay.
answer.
Team answer.
Yeah, let's go. Well, Croy, we both really appreciate your time and you
Yes, we do.
sharing so much about your life and your story. I think so many people are going to benefit from it and get to know you a little bit more as a soccer player, but also as a person, which I think is really important. So thank you so much for your time. Really
No.
appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Don't tell
Yeah.
anyone. You can tell everyone. By far, favorite podcast.
Oh yes. I'm gonna
Yay.
take that and run
Oh,
with
yeah.
that's where we're gonna
Yeah.
lead with the headline into Spotify and Apple.
Yeah.
Croy's favorite podcast. You better listen. No, thanks,
Yeah.
Croy, for coming. I really appreciate it.
Let's get into our ditto of the day for our episode with Croy. So many good things that we talked about and learned, and so many
Yeah, that
amazing
was awesome.
lessons. So it's probably gonna be hard to think of one thing, but
I know.
Matt, are you ready to share with us your ditto of the day?
Yeah, you just said it. It was hard for me to narrow down one. I could do this for about 15 more minutes, but we'll keep it short. One of the most interesting things that I'm going to be pinning to the DOTD from Croy was integrating some form of spirituality into your life. Hers was religion, hers is God, hers is the Bible, hers is scriptures, prayer, etc. It doesn't have to be that. And so here's my ditto of the day. Find something, at least what they call in the literature, that causes awe in your life,
Yeah.
right? AWE, essentially making yourself small and the universe big. God is a great way to do that. That's the way I do it. That's the way Ashley does it. But it doesn't have to be that way. Find something that speaks to your spirit, because we all have it. And so my ditto of the day is to find it, cultivate it, integrate it into your life. So just like Croy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's awesome. For me, I mean, I think we all touched on the self-belief thing, so I won't hit that nail again. But
It's already hammered.
it's already hammered. But I think another one, or from my ditto of the day, is the people that you surround yourself are is really important. So, like as she said, she was the hardest parts of her recovery, like post-surgery, she was surrounded by her family. And then after that, like when she was back in the training room, like being surrounded by like her teammates, and how that made it a lot more enjoyable and a lot easier to do like rehab and recovery. And I think that's a huge testament to like the people that you surround yourself with are going to impact you for good or for bad. And so paying attention to that and recognizing who you're surrounding yourself with in the good times, in the bad times, in the meh times, whatever it is, making sure that you choose to surround yourself with good people is really important.
Can't do this life thing alone, especially when you're going through something like a third ACL recovery. My gosh.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyways,
But
it was great.
yeah, cool. Well, thank you everyone for listening. If you enjoyed, please like, subscribe, share. If you know of anyone who is going through something tough or through an injury, maybe share this episode, because Croy's story is definitely inspiring and she's going to be around the game for a very long time. So make sure that you listen and share.
Awesome. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.